Oh, it's one of my favorite times of week. 6:44, 16 till 7, WWO. We get to talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike Strain? Dr.
Man,
Mike Strain.
I'm doing great. I'm doing excellent. We're getting ready for a meeting this morning at the Farm Bureau in Baton Rouge with the Mexican Grains Council. And I'm sure corn is going to be on the top of the subject. So look, any day we can talk about corn and beans and cotton and rice, it's a good day.
Exporting, you're talking about, right?
That's right. Mexico is one of our largest agricultural trading partners. They rival one or two. So it's always between Mexico and Canada. You know, everyone thinks it's China, but it's not. You know, for agricultural products, Mexico is probably one of our number one markets, and we're trying to continuously expand that and move more products into Mexico. We'll be talking about corn today.
We had president and owner of Camellia Beans with us yesterday, and he was talking about how every bean that he sells is grown in the United States, and he exports a lot. And it seems like, man, that's the way it's supposed to work, right?
Man, that works, and we're working on that. So, you know, trade is at the top of the agenda. You know, we just finished that trade mission, you know, to the United Kingdom, and we're setting up one now. I've been asked by the British government to go to Scotland on a timber trade mission, and that's what we have to do. 40% of the value we have in our crops comes from international trade. And, you know, so it's a huge part. It's extraordinarily important. And we're really hoping when these interest rates go down and if we can settle, settlement of the wars there between Ukraine and Russia and get some settlement in the Middle East, the world economy is going to start spinning up again and you're going to see a lot of activity. And so, you know, we love exporting our grains. We'd rather export more beef and chicken and pork, because that's value-added grain, and we do that as well. And so, you know, it's incumbent upon us to continue to press and, you know, and do these exports, because, again, trade lifts all ships, and it's, number one, it's fun, and number two, it's what we need to do. And look, the United States, we're the largest exporter of food and grains in the world. You know, they talk about the Ukraine being the breadbasket of the world. The United States exports twice what the Ukraine does. And so it's a big deal. And so meeting with our counterparts there and listening to whatever concerns they may have and facilitating trade, getting to, look, if you have it, we're ready to sell it and we're ready to move it. And again, trade is both ways, but we're excited about that.
Mike, when you mention exporting beef, you know, I got to ask, with the price of beef being what it is, wouldn't it be better to keep it here domestically and bring the price down, or that's not the way markets work?
That's not the way markets work. You know, you can't put these restrictions on. The way, you know, to deal with the price of beef, we've got to increase production. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's happening across the world, you know, and you hear the whispers when you travel abroad, you know, different governments, especially in the EU, are whispering that, tell the farmers, y'all don't need to raise as much beef. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't like beef because we don't think it's good for the environment. And they start raising less beef. Well, there's a steady and growing demand for beef, which puts more pressure on us. And so when you look at trade, again, trade is both ways. And we sell a high-value beef product. In the United Kingdom, they feed their animals between 30 and 120 days. A lot of the animals are only fed 30 days. You know, we feed ours for months. Their slaughter weights are about 850 pounds. Ours can, you know, reach 2,200 pounds. So we get more for less. But the bottom line is that we're still decreasing the number of cows. So we need to get more farmers into farming beef, and we've got to raise the number of females. And it's not, you know, chicken, you can multiply pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Beef is not the way. It's a five-year cycle.
What is the gestation period for a cow?
283 days.
What?
You know? And that's right, 283 days. A horse is 333.
Wow.
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, but in here, one of the things that does have a big effect on the gestation timetable of cattle is heat and humidity. Here in Louisiana, you know, your calving interval can be 12 to 14 months. And when you go in the northern climates, it's a lot shorter because what happens is the cattle basically, you know, don't want to do their thing in the heat and in the high humidity. And it has a negative effect. One of the studies that's going on at our major universities is looking at the effect of the increased heat, even by 1 or 2 degrees, on the hormonal cycles in livestock, what it does to them, and it decreases their reproduction rate. That is another thing that we're trying to figure out how to deal with, and to work, you know, genetically to breed, you know, strains of cattle. And what you have here in Louisiana, you look at our cattle in Louisiana, they look a lot different than the cattle up on the East Coast. Remember, we got a lot of the Brahmin influence. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of ear and a little bit of hump and a little bit, you know, you can see that Brahmin influence because they are more able to deal with the heat, the humidity, and the mosquitoes here. But our calving interval is longer, and that's one of the disadvantages we have here in the dairy industry compared, you know, into, say, like Minnesota or Michigan.
Seems like we need a little more hump. Just kidding. Look, when it comes to Grady, let me ask you about Grady. Grady, you're a doctor, a veterinarian, you're a veterinarian, is what I'm trying to say. Beloved on the North Shore. I got to tell you something about Grady when we come back that I caught him doing, and I don't think it's the first time he did it, and I don't know how you keep him from doing it. I'll ask when we return. You got any questions for Mike Strain, 504-260-1870. I saw one of you guys on the road yesterday, Mike, checking gasoline pumps.
Yes.
Part of your duty, right?
We do about 135,000 pumps a year.
All right, 6:50, 10 till 7. More with Mike Strain. We come back. Traffic now, WWO. 6:56, 4 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWO. Back with Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Dr. Mike Strain, a beloved veterinarian on the North Shore. Mike, you know, I already caught Grady eating the worst possible thing that you can imagine, but I understand dogs do that. But that's not the worst of it to me. I caught him drinking out of the toilet yesterday.
Oh, they love drinking out of the toilet.
And what,
keep the lid down.
What got me, yes, but I hadn't kept the lid down before because I never caught him doing it before. And now I'm thinking, this dog might have been full of toilet water all this time. You know what I mean?
Well, keep the lid down, because once they start drinking out of the toilet, they think that bowl is there for them.
That's what I think happened. I think he may have discovered it. Tell me about seafood tariffs.
Yes. Well, with the seafood tariffs, as you see on India, a 50% tariff is going into place, which would bring the total effective rate to about 68%.
Is that where those radioactive shrimp came from, Mike, India?
No, Indonesia.
Okay.
The radioactive shrimp, which is contaminated with cesium-137, came in from Indonesia. And look, hats off to customs for picking this up.
Mm-hmm.
We think that it triggered, the whole container was full. And cesium-137 is a byproduct. It's a man-made byproduct from nuclear processes. So how in the world did it get into these frozen shrimp? Walmart has recalled these shrimp. It is great value shrimp from BMS Foods. And, of course, the lot numbers have been published. It's in the Times-Picayune and other areas, those lot numbers. But Walmart has picked it up. But look to see if you have any, again, great value brand frozen shrimp, product of Indonesia, and, you know, from BMS Foods, take it, you know, look, don't eat it. Because, again, we're trying to figure out how that got in. That's not something we normally testing for. Is, you know, that radioactive material at cesium-137, which can make you very, very sick.
Let me ask you, Mike, real quick, if I can, about testing, because I was talking to A.C. Cooper yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah, good
I think
guy.
Europe tests 50%. We test how many percent?
Oh, we probably test, you know, now 1 in a billion pounds total. So we just started a testing program in Louisiana. We're testing, about 10 samples per week. That's the funding that we have. And we're testing for 20 different antibiotics.
Is that adequate or not? Because I guess what I'm wondering is, how did it get so deregulated where foreign shrimp were allowed in to begin with? Somebody had to be behind that. And
90%
how do you fix
of
it?
The shrimp consumed in the United States are imported, 90%. And so, you know, it's really affected and really driven down in price and driven our people out of business. We need to up the game and obviously test more. It takes considerable funding. And, you know, we're testing at the retail level. You know, we're going in retail and pulling packets, looking at the packets, looking at the labels, and doing antibiotic testing. We have recently found one that was positive for chloramphenicol, and that has been seized by Department of Health and Hospitals. So we need to up the game, and that's something Customs needs to do.
All right, Mike, thank you. Hurricane season still to go. Make a plan, get ready, because you never know, right?
Man, get your game plan now, because look, remember, August 28th is coming up. You know, most people are afraid of Friday the 13th. We get worried about August the 28th.
Yes, sir, we do.
That's
thank you, Mike.
Hurricane time.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great weekend. I appreciate your time, as always. Commissioner Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, you heard him. Once you catch him licking out the toilet, you can't stop it, so just put the lid down. We'll be back, WWL.